are listening to the Star Lores Podcast.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Why, you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Following the death of the great Marco Ragnos, a struggle for succession would inevitably take place. Leaving no direct heir, two claimants stepped forward to challenge for the throne of the Sith Empire. Ludo Koresh was a Sith hybrid descendant of the Dark Jedi and the Sith species, and had taken the honor of leading the funeral procession of Marco Ragnos himself. Nega Sado, longtime rival and powerful alchemist, was also the descendant of Dark Jedi Sith mixing, came to challenge Sado in single combat for the right to lead the Empire. As the two warrior lords dueled, fate, or the Force, would intervene.
Promises of Fortune. As the Republic slowly began to spread, discovering new hyperlanes, mapping and navigating the unfolding galaxy, in a dark, unmapped region lay the Stygian caldera, home of the Sith Empire. A mixed breed Sith from the planet Zyost, Nega Sado boasted one of the strongest blood lineages to the ancient Dark Jedi, granting him a certain level of deference and prestige amongst the Sith people, born almost 2,000 years after their first arrival. Nega Sado was taken under the tutelage of the Sith magician Simus, who had been one of the most powerful Sith of his time and challenger to Marco Ragnos' throne before Ragnos beheaded him in a duel. Simus lived, however, having his head encased in a special crystal case and sustaining himself on powerful dark energy, and even returning as an advisor to Ragnos and serving alongside his former pupil, Nega Sado, on the 10-member Sith Council. Sith lords often assembled their own private armies to protect their personal interests and served as another avenue and display of power and influence. Unlike his fellow Dark Lords, however, Sado would include outsiders into his military forces instead of relying solely on his own slave population. This underscored his expansionist views for the Empire. He wanted to expand and wrest control of the galaxy from their ancient enemies, the Republic and the Jedi. His master Simus had instilled a strong knowledge of the ancient past and exile of the Dark Jedi, something long forgotten and ignored by the Sith of this era, who had been consumed by their narrow view and selfish interests within the Empire. Nega Sado was powerful and wealthy and controlled the planet of Kar Delba, which fronted as his seat of power, while his real work and study of Darth Sith magics took place on the moon of Kar Shian. Amongst his pursuits, Sado had been consumed with finding the talisman of Kar Nesmur, but was unsuccessful in the task, but rigorously takes notes that would be used by future generations to pursue. Prophecy and Opportunity.
Like his arch-rival, Nega Sado, Ludo Koresh was also the descendant of hybrid of the Dark Jedi exiles and Sith species. A powerful Sith lord in his own right, Kresh made his home in the palace on the planet Relg. He was very warlike and campaigned away from home often, but still managed to sire a son, Elko Kresh, also known as Kresh the Younger. Though he reveled in teaching his slaves to follow the dark side, he was also a cruel master and would often beat them in drunken fits of rage and would execute them when he had felt displeasure, alienating at least one slave enough to flee his service and instead begin working with his rival, Nagus Addo. Kresh also served on the Sith Council and had earned the honor of carrying Mark Aragnos' helm at the head of his funeral procession. As the procession came to a close, with the sealing of Ragnos' tomb, Nagus Addo arrived to make a claim as heir to the Sith throne. Kresh, citing Sado's progressive views and desire to reveal the Sith Empire to the galaxy, argued it would endanger their current state of affairs and risk losing the whole empire, and he disputed this claim. The two soon came to blows and drew weapons to settle the dispute once and for all, in front of the powerful onlookers and aristocrats of the Sith Empire. A duel to determine the next ruler and the very fate of the Empire.
Duel of the Fates. As the two Sith lords clashed, Kresh relying on brutal force while Sadow implemented his telekinetic force powers, they were both interrupted in their duel when the ghost of Mark Aragnos appeared and loomed over the two would-be inheritors of his throne. The spirit warned the warring lords to choose their battles carefully, as the fate of the Empire would hang in the balance. The fight was further interrupted by the sudden arrival of a foreign ship, the Starbreaker 12. Bearing aboard the Darragon twins, galactic navigators and explorers who had stumbled upon the Sith Empire and attempted to act as envoys of peace from the Republic. Soon a rift grew between Kresh, who advised immediate execution, and Sadow, who wanted to interrogate the new arrivals for information. While the debate raged on the fate of the explorers amongst the Sith Council, Sadow acted and freed the prisoners, framing it as a pending Republic invasion, killing his former master Simus in the process. Another council was convened and Sadow proclaimed himself the new ruler of the Sith Empire on the premise of an impending Republic attack, and his position was to preempt with an invasion of their own. He had majority support, leaving Kresh shocked and betrayed. He withdrew from the council with his supporters and vowed that they would not help Sadow with his invasion, opting to reinforce the existing holdings of the Empire that he would be the true Dark Lord of the Sith. Betrayal.
Sadow secreted the Darragon twins, splitting them between his publicly known fortress world and his secret moon base. Sadow took Gav Darragon under his wing, discovering the young Starfarer had once been a Jedi initiate before becoming a Voyager and Explorer. He began to instruct him in the ways of the dark side and made him an apprentice. Sadow also anointed himself the Dark Lord, applying a distinct Sith tattoo to his forehead, further legitimizing his claim to the title of Dark Lord in the eyes of his supporters. Meanwhile, Kresh sent his own Masasi guards to protect the Darragon's ship and prevent them from returning to the Republic. The guards were subdued by a counterforce of Sadow's, who captured the ship and allowed Jori Darragon to escape back to the Republic, unknown to her carrying a homing beacon that would allow Sadow to follow her hyperspace lane back to the Republic. Kresh discovered Sado's attack and swore vengeance, assembling a fleet to go after his fortress world on Caradelba. Unbeknownst to Kresh, the world was a decoy, and Sadow revealed his secret fleet hidden in the shadow of his moon base on Kar Shian, and counterattacked Kresh's forces. In a final stroke of true Sith skullduggery, a force of secret assassins known as the Sadawin, named for their master, had infiltrated Kresh's crews aboard their ships. At their master's command, they overthrew the Sith Lords Horak Mule and Gal Ram, Kresh's most loyal supporters, and commandeered their ships. Suddenly outnumbered and outgunned, Kresh was forced to retreat with a handful of his remaining ships. His very public defeat and humiliation lost what remained of his support, and Naga Sadow, uncontested, was now recognized as the true Dark Lord of the Sith. Kresh, however, would not be so easily cast aside. As Sadow consolidated his forces for his planned war with the Republic, he marshaled the remaining Sith Lords to a meeting on Kar Delba, as his Masasi slaves worked relentlessly to repair the damaged fortress. Kresh and his flagship, pretending to be on board, above the world, to very publicly decry Sadow's coming war. Sadow had the flagship destroyed in front of all the Sith Lords. As the ship was blasted apart, everyone believed that Kresh was killed on board, but he had hidden himself away to gather his strength and plot his return under cover of his own alleged death. As Sadow made preparations for his invasion, his apprentice Gav Daragon had become increasingly unsure of his master and the Sith, especially when it was revealed that his sister was allowed to escape to reveal the location of the Republic.
A call to war. As the undisputed Dark Lord of the Sith, Sadow rallied all of the remaining lords and gathered their armies of ships, soldiers, and beasts to unleash in a devastating invasion of the Republic space and take war to the heart of the Republic itself. Sadow secreted himself in the heart of his meditation chamber on board his flagship, where he would bolter his already formidable armies with powerful Sith illusions. He would also coordinate and centrally plan his attacks with a form of battle meditation. As his massive fleets took to hyperspace to conduct their war, Ludo Kresh used the absence to plot his return. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Yeehaw! Howdy, folks! Is your business in the market for beasts of burden? Is your family looking for a new pet? Or maybe you're just desperate for a thrill? Whatever the reasons, we've got just the animal you are looking for here at the Coruscant Livestock Exchange and Exhibition. First, take a stroll through our outdoor exhibits. We've got round-toed cowbucks, banthas, and yopies. Or if you're an avian enthusiast, check out our aviary full of nunas, ursi, pillout birds, nico flight, and more. If you're into creepy crawly things, then we have just the bug for you, including such species as orbalisks, drock, and energy spiders. Brought the younglings with you? Then visit our small animal hall. Here you can find just the right pet for your rambunctious offspring. We have chitlicks, giskas, twirls, and vorpaks, perfect to snuggle up with. I see you've noticed a lift to our dangerous animals level. Exercise caution, in here be monsters like reeks, rancors, boar wolves, tusk cats, and nexu. And of course, you can always find some gerbas, bursas, blurgs, fambas, falumpasets, kaidu, sharks, gualamas, zeer, gundarks, isalamari, and maybe just a tauntaun or two. Here at the Coruscant Livestock Exchange and Exhibition.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the Millennial Falcon. This is Christian.
And this is Jordan.
We find ourselves once again orbiting around the Stygian caldera. We've been here before. We're here again, and we've been here for a little while now. I just want to start off by saying we're not going to be here forever. It just happened to be a stint of episodes where we've kind of gone in depth into the Sith Empire, its origins, but we won't be here forever.
Yeah. I did do a nice little tour of the tomb of Nagasato.
Oh, yeah?
I felt dirty afterwards.
Didn't get
to be quite honest, which is the experience I was looking for.
Okay. So it was a success. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Yeah, that's kind of why you come to this place.
You didn't get eaten by a tarantula attack.
Yeah.
The great Marco Ragnos has since passed away.
Mm-hmm.
In the era. Well, at the beginning of our story, yes.
Yeah.
at the era known as the Golden Age of the Sith. And so now we're coming to the end of that period. Now we're essentially coming down to what will become, spoilers, the death of an empire. There's a lot of historical truth to this. So far the Sith Empire has been around for a few thousand years since the arrival of the Dark Jedi, interbreeding, rise of Marco Ragnos, and then his two his two successors essentially competing for the throne. And this happens quite a bit where a great imperial lord of some kind will die. It happens with the Mongol Empire, or the Macedonian Empire, you know, Genghis Khan and Alexander the Great. They were this central focusing power, this unique individual for whatever reasons.
And they had some sort of cult of personality around them.
Yeah, whatever factors led to them being the successful, like, military genius or whatever it is. And then they die and they leave something great to be passed on. And usually that's the death of that empire.
Yeah.
Very quickly, someone of the same caliber doesn't rise to take their place. And you have infighting. You have people competing for the remnants of the empire.
Yeah. I think another interesting side note is even today, like in our modern context, the majority of wealthy people, all of their wealth is squandered by the third generation.
Yeah.
If they can actually pass on like generational wealth,
yeah,
by the third generation, it's like
gone,
completely squandered.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's very difficult to steward an empire and like pass a baton on to somebody
and have
competent.
Someone. Yeah, exactly. Willing and able to carry on its legacy to some degree.
Yeah.
Some civilizations have managed, or they'll go through a dip,
yeah,
where they'll get a couple of crappy rulers and then they'll have another good one that kind of puts things back together, and then they'll have a few crappy ones and so on. Which one speaks to the rareness of a good leader.
Yeah. I think sometimes empires is just sheer luck too. It's like,
oh yeah, there's all kinds of factors. Yeah, what resources your empire originated with.
Yeah, and it can almost make the leader look better than he actually was.
Yeah,
he was just
maybe
at the right
just
place,
like,
at
yeah,
the right
just having
time.
To be the right guy. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And so, you know, there's all sorts of, there's so many variables, it's hard to like.
But it is a common factor that when someone of some talent passes away, and this happens even with companies, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, you have a great CEO, he leaves for another job, he dies, whatever happens, and suddenly if there's not a clear line of succession.
Yeah.
You have all this infighting of people wanting to take and inherit what's there. And you very clearly see that it's the case here with Ludo Kresh and Nagasato, which will eventually lead to the destruction of their empire. And their feud will destroy everything that was left to them.
Yeah. I also think what's kind of interesting about this era of the Sith as well is there's like a council of Siths, right? Like there's these elders that kind of make up the power structure of the empire. Whereas like later generations of Sith, obviously like in more contemporary times, there's just two basically.
Yeah. Well, we will eventually walk ourselves through that transition from how the Sith went from like empire building and spanning like hundreds, if not thousands of Sith lords to two.
Yeah.
And how that, like, there's a philosophical idea about the concentration of power.
Right.
When we get to Darth Bane, that will become very evident as to why that changes. But yes, this is a time when there are lots of Sith. And they do have, like, a very feudal society. They have slaves. We talked about this during our Sith episode, but they have slaves, rulers of different varieties, like architects, warrior classes. It's very class-based.
Yeah.
And like pyramidal.
Also, I don't, maybe someone can correct me, one of the listeners can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I kind of get the impression that a lot of the Sith species are proficient in the Force, or that like magic is very commonly practiced.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that exists in other societies the way that it does
in other species. I don't know if it manifests the same, but there are some species. We talked about this too in our Force episode. Some species show a natural affinity for the Force in different areas.
Yeah, that's true.
So again, I think like how it manifests is maybe different, or how a culture perceives that. It's almost like having like a little witch baby, and like if your culture values that, they become a high priest. If your culture doesn't value that, they become an outcast, right?
Yeah, or a sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I think there's cultural elements that revolve around their innate abilities as well. Yeah. That determine kind of what the outcome and what the societal structure. But yes, the more powerful you are essentially in Sith society, and part of that is linked to, like we emphasize, it's kind of backwards with Sith, where they consider like pure bloods lesser than hybrids, because hybrids actually interbred with the powerful Force users that were the original Dark Jedi.
Right.
So it's kind of funny.
There's also no non-Force user that we know of that has been written that was a Dark Lord of the Sith.
Yeah.
In this era.
Yeah. And part of that is
they are all powerful force users. Wielders,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think you would just be operating at a severe disadvantage if you were the one guy that didn't have Force powers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, that's the thing, is we don't really see. I mean, perhaps the, the slave caste, they can't use the Force or something. I don't know.
It's definitely diminished in them.
It would seem that way. But I also think there's like it seems like the upper classes in this society are trained, like they grow up learning about the Force, and where maybe that doesn't exist as much.
Like a cultural environmental thing where you're the privilege to have all the best schools that will hone your natural abilities, whereas some poor kid will never have that. So he just ends up becoming a slave and
could it be evolutionary selection, when you only interbreed with a certain caste that can use the Force, and then lower caste who don't really use
eventually that does happen, where the Sith, again, we talked about this more in our Sith episode, where they kind of devolve into these subspecies. But also there's the element of Sith alchemy, where you literally have the foundational Dark Jedi split over the ability to manipulate genetics essentially and mutate monsters and things like that. So some of that too could be intentional manipulation, let's say. So, yeah. But going back to Death of Empires.
Yeah.
That's what we're witnessing and experiencing now.
Yeah.
You also get to see a lot of the politicking that will later become pretty entrenched in how Sith do business. You see the underhandedness and kind of the backstabbing and like this. It has always been there, but they always had strong rulers that kind of kept that in check. Again, with Marco Ragnos, he knew how to pit the Sith Council against each other so they wouldn't be his problem, which is pretty smart politicking. But the problem is, when you remove that piece, then all the guys that were fighting each other will continue to fight each other, if not worse, right?
Yeah.
And
it also seems like there's no like real election process. It's just like, it seems like the two strongest, most powerful come to the top and they duel it out, and that's the decision, right?
And that again is in line with Sith philosophy of the strongest rule.
Yeah.
You have the right to rule if you can take that power from someone else, right?
Yeah, like obviously before, it's sort of this rhyming thing of like Ragnos versus Simus, and then Sadow versus Kresh, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. And again, it just reflects innate Sith culture and philosophy. It's also interesting to compare Kresh and Sado, where Kresh is more like a force, like a brute force of nature. He's practical. He wants to preserve the Sith Empire as it is. He doesn't want to risk it by gambling. Right now, the galaxy doesn't know.
He's like more conservative. Yeah.
The galaxy doesn't really know the Sith Empire exists as it does. So the Sith Empire has been expanding within its region, the Stygian Caldera, So they've conquered other worlds and taken them as slaves and subjugated different planets, but they're not this like vast interstellar empire.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is technically interstellar, but not on the scale.
Like galactic. They're not a galactic.
Yeah, they're not a galactic level.
Yeah.
And again, they're hidden from the Republic.
Yeah.
And the Republic itself isn't as expansive as it will become later either. They're also still kind of very early in their development. And by early, that's relative in thousands of years time scale.
Yeah, you almost have to look at this area before like all the hyperspace routes were mapped and stuff as like, almost before we had like cross ocean navigation. You know,
you have the odd ship that's making that journey.
Yeah, but you had like like right when the Roman Empire was at the zenith of its power, like the Chinese Empire was like massive too, you know, and but they just like
very little,
they almost barely contact,
little to no interaction between them.
Yeah. And you know, there was empires in the middle of Africa, and there was Mesoamerican empires all at the same time, but they didn't even know
each other existed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the right mindset to have. So yeah, exactly. You have these little empires growing, Republic as an empire, whatever.
Right.
And then you have other factions too, like Hutt Space and things.
Yeah.
And then you have, that's why the arrival of the Darragon ship is so key, is because they're mapping a hyperspace lane.
Yeah.
Which means ease of travel. All of a sudden, this route, this corridor has opened up, and they're able.
They're like the Christopher Columbus of
the except Republic. If all the Sith decided to rally and reverse invade Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is exactly what Sadow wants to do.
Right.
Whereas Kresh is like, no, we should stay on our island. We know what we have. We can reinforce ourselves here. And again, he's more like physically violent and angry and brute force, whereas Sadow is more scheming, plotting, conniving. They both embrace different elements of the dark side. You have people like Maul, who are like Darth Maul, who are like blunt assassin, marauder instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people like Darth Sidious, who are scheming, who are plotting like the downfall of the entire galaxy, right?
Yeah.
Darth Vader is more of an engine of destruction, this brute force.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one-on-one, almost everyone gets destroyed by Vader. But does Vader have that empire-spanning, conniving, manipulative mind to...
Right. No, Vader definitely ruled through fear, whereas Sidious ruled through, scheming.
Yeah,
you know,
and attained and politicking power through exactly those methods. And they both kind of reflect two sides of the coin of the dark side, just like Kresh and Sadow.
Yeah, 100%.
Just kind of... A side note on Sadow, Naga Sadow specifically, he is very inconsistently portrayed in artwork. he goes from being borderline human looking to very Sith, as in the Sith species looking. There's images of him that look, straight up like
he's a human.
He's a human. And then others where he has like the face tentacles and like very red skin.
Yeah.
Not as pronounced. Again, the more mixed.
He is a hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. The more mixed a species is, I mean, in terms of the Sith specifically. So the Sith have very like pronounced brow ridges. They have these face tentacles.
Yeah.
And very deep red skin, typically.
Yeah.
And as they interbreed, those features become less and less prominent. Their tentacles maybe not be as many, or they'll be shortened.
Yeah.
Or maybe even non-existent in like a very human hybrid. But yeah, there's a very inconsistent display of what Naga Sadow looks like. I'm not sure which one would be considered the canon appearance. He does appear in the Tales of the Jedi comic books, where he had a very reddish skin and Sith species look, but the new Essential Guide to Characters shows him a lot more human.
Interesting.
So again, like, I guess that's a case of what book you defer to as the most canon. Quick note on Disney. Disney decided to keep Naga Sadow canon, but they don't keep Ludo Kresh.
Okay.
interesting. And Sadow is also like, it's weird. They refer to the Great Hyperspace War, the Empress Theta system, which is also we'll get into in the next episode, and all told in what's called the Keldroma epics. So they're taking all these elements of legends, and it seems like they're being semi-consistent. Like all these, maybe they're not going to be used the same way, but like the Great Hyperspace War, Empress Theta, Ula Keldroma, all these things come from Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like they're trying to canonize the whole thing as we understand it and experience it in Legends, or if they're just taking like, oh, that's a cool name, that's a cool character, let's just take it for our own use.
Yeah.
And rewrite everything else about it. Not a lot is known about them from the canon perspective.
You know, I kind of wonder if there's sort of shoehorning it, like they're like, they have a game or a comic book or a novel, and then they need some like ancient lore to pull from.
Yeah,
so they just like go and like
instead of coming up with their own cherry thing,
pick some stuff from.
Oh, that's exactly what they're doing.
This is what I want, so I'm gonna put it in, and then that makes it canon.
Yeah, or they're like cool name drop and cool reference.
Yeah,
for
real
Star Wars fans to try and lure you in.
Yeah,
but there's no substance behind
like that one very obscure reference to Revan in one of the new films. It wasn't even like in the film. It was like in the art book or something.
Yeah, I think one of the like Sith trooper battalions.
Yeah.
They all carried Sith Lord names.
Right. And one of them was like, Revan.
I can't remember all the names. One of them could have been Sato. I can't remember.
Okay.
But they were all named after like legends, great lords of the Sith.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing that they kept was, and this will come into play in future episodes, but I'll mention it now. So eventually Naga Sadow, spoilers, will end up on Yavin 4 and build the temple. Well, they weren't ruins when he builds them, but he builds the temples on Yavin 4 that the rebels are hiding in, these big like almost pyramids.
Yeah.
And they decided to keep that element in canon as well. So like back in A New Hope, like you just see it on screen. Oh, the rebels are hiding on this forest, and there's these old ancient temples. So then they go back and obviously write the backstory, which is Naga Sado built these temples.
And it plays
into like the new, not Tales of the Jedi, the New Republic, New Jedi Academy type series.
Yeah.
So they decided to just lift that and keep it. And again, the story may change in the details, but they still have the Misasi building these temples, which is, again, lifted straight from Legends. And then the final thing to mention is that Sado's face is actually chiseled into the walls of the Sith Citadel on Exegol. And one of the voices that Kylo Ren hears in his head is allegedly Naga Sado's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they really kind of lean on him a lot. Or at least they name drop him. They don't mention it by name in the movies. I'm sure it's from like a source book or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I'm not really...
Maybe it's from the novelization or something.
I'm not big on Disney canon, so I'm not going to like hunt down the source for this stuff. It just reading the wiki for that stuff. But yeah, so they do try to incorporate Naga Sado quite a bit, like sprinkling him in wherever they seem to be... to want to do it, which is just, to me, it was kind of odd. Naga Sado never, to me, really felt like he's big in that, like, the Jedi Temples do feature prominently in the New Jedi Order stuff.
Yeah.
Which I guess is maybe why they took him. It just seemed weird to me to pick him and, like, drop Ludo Kresh altogether. You know, I don't know if Ajunta Paul makes it into Mark Aragnos.
When we move on to Ajunta Paul, we'll have to look at that. But it is kind of similar with Mark Aragnos. He's sort of like sprinkled throughout. There's references to him, even in canon, Disney canon. There's like references to Mark Aragnos.
I think he's one of the legions that are listed.
Oh,
I don't remember. Yeah. Again, I don't really care about Disney Star Wars, so I don't look into it. But
I think I mentioned this in the Ragnos episode, though. I don't mind like them having these sort of like obscure references, sort of almost adding to the mystique and the legend of these like characters that you don't really know much about, and you don't know exactly why they're so well known. Because there's all sorts of characters in our own history who I think are kind of like that. Like they're memes almost, you know. They're not yeah. really, you don't really they know
disassociate from yeah. their true story.
Yeah, exactly. And but even the documents we do have of them are actually like scantily thin, so I don't know. Kind of interesting way to do it. Do you want, it's like the question is like, do you want to over-explain these characters or do you want to leave them mysterious, you know?
Yeah, which, I mean, there's an argument to be made for the mysterious angle. I know Warhammer 40K has a lot of that currently they're in the process of undoing. And there's a lot of mixed reactions about like, it would have been better if you just didn't go there, right? Just let the mystery live on as a mystery.
Right.
So that's fair. I'll give them that. I just looked up the names of the Sith legions named, at least in Disney Star Wars. There's Endedu, Tanis, Revan, Tenebris, Phobos, and Desolus.
Okay.
So
interesting. All right.
But that's all I got for this episode.
Oh, what about inconsistency around his death?
That's for a later episode.
Okay.
We'll save that for when we actually talk. Are you telling people he dies?
No.
Spoilers.
All right. So let's just remind everyone to check out our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're also on Discord. So, I'm not in there as much. I try to go in at least once or twice a week if I can and just see what's happening. But I know Christian checks it out a lot. If you guys have any questions, disagreements, general commentary.
Challenge us to single combat.
Yeah, exactly. And you too can be the ruler of the Star Lords. No, you can't actually. also we are on Patreon. So if you want to support the show, for $3 a month, you can subscribe and get exclusive member content, and be a part of a couple private groups if you want. It's up to you. Helps us pay the bills. We really, really appreciate it. And on that note, I just want to give a shout out to some of our new patrons since the last time we mentioned it. So big thank you to Donnell, Anthony, Frank, High Plains Drifter, and Ahmed. So I want to thank all of you guys for your support. We really, really appreciate it.
Someone's out there. They need to get some Sith names going.
Yeah.
Contributors.
Oh, and I also wanted to thank TJ for doing our ad this week.
Yes.
Which was pretty awesome. If anyone has in universe Star Wars ad ideas, pitch them to us. We're not promising that we will air it, but if we like it enough, we will. You can either give us a recording or just write a script.
Yeah,
30 to 60 seconds max. If you go a little over, I can forgive it, but
but don't get crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, on that note, I think that's all I had to say. Peace.